Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Hey y'all, this is Pastor Don McKinnon of Legacy Church in Sutton, Massachusetts. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about probably something. I don't want to get too political in this, but one thing that our church is seeing that I think, well, our church is seeing, and I know a number of churches in our area are seeing, is I'm trying to think of how to describe this, but the need for homeschool communities. Now, I don't think I have to go into what homeschooling is with anyone here, but one thing that we have discovered is that a lot of families really need places to gather and meet. And what I mean by that is that what we're seeing is as these communities are growing, as parents are taking their kids out of schools, and, well, I'm going to get to that in a second, but as they're taking their kids out of these schools, one thing that we're seeing, especially in Massachusetts, is the need for a place to kind of have a hang time for these kids. A lot of these kids are used to going to public school. The parents have been sending their kids there. As strong as some of these kids might be in their faith, the way that the systems are designed now is to really get kids to question their church, their parents, their pastor, all sorts of things, to lay it out there for them to say, you know, what you're believing is really brainwashing. They are throwing kids to read books. A lot of these books, I can't even describe on this podcast. I don't want to get into detail, but I will say there is a book. You could look this up. And I'm going to warn you, fair warning, it will be graphic when you find it. But there is a book out there called, I believe, The 3 Hours. And it is a very graphic book designed for kids with graphic pictures showing depictions of sexual acts that I'm not going to get into on here. But this is what is going on, and I've seen this with some parents actually going to schools, renting this book out, you know, taking this book out and refusing to return it because they are so appalled by the content. Like, they don't want their 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old seeing this stuff. And that's what's going on in our area. And so what we've seen is we have seen the silent majority, as we call them around here, those who are conservative, highly conservative, would vote Republican 99% of the time. They are pulling their kids out of the public schools. They may not be Christian, so that's where I'm going to go in a little bit with this. They may not be Christian, but they are really looking for a place. Like, they are homeschooling their kids. And as they're homeschooling their kids, one thing that they want to do is they still want their kids to, have activities with other kids. And so in that's where I think churches are really, really have a huge opportunity. Let's put it that way. We're seeing about 10 families coming to our church facility twice a week right now. There's one day that they're using for a learning session where they can, you know, get away from the house, get away from the distractions within the house, and just sit down and learn. And, you know, parents who might have a better grasp on a particular subject, you know, if a parent has a particular grasp on science, they can teach that science. And a lot of the books that they're buying, because there is this stuff going on, you know, they're buying books that we would say are Christian, or a lot of the books that they're choosing are from Christian publishers. But these parents may not be Christian. And that's the surprising thing. That's the area that I think we need to look at as churches with what's going on. Many parents, many Christian parents that have been sending their kids to public school have been pulling them out. And you might say, well, why aren't they sending them to Christian school? Well, in Massachusetts, one thing is, it's hard to find Christian schools. There's not too many around here. And the other thing is, there is a thing, I think it's ANSI, A-N-S-I. I could be wrong on that. There was another podcast that had done a story on this. But what is going on is there are some of the leading Christian publishers of school material that are including stuff like critical race theory and evolution and other things in there that is really beginning to cause issue for a lot of people, a lot of parents. So, you know, what are we to do? And what does this mean for the church? And I think it's like, you know, we see these parents, they're sitting there, they're trying to do the best. And it's really a cry, I don't know what quite to call it. You know, there's definitely something there where we're seeing these parents like looking for help. In our area, we've opened ourselves up for this to bring them in, let them come in, use the facility. They have so they have one night a week or one day a week where they teach their kids here. And like I said, you know, parents who are strong in certain areas will be able to teach their kids in certain areas. And then the other thing that we do is we do a social night, because one thing is these kids are not socializing with kids on a regular basis as they would in school. And so this gives them an opportunity to come one night a week, you know, usually late afternoon, early evening, come one night a week, and they get together and socialize and really do some interesting things socially. Like we're going to be having a taco night, a night where they're going to come and they're going to be able to have dinner together, make tacos, and sit in fellowship. And there are other nights where they're outside running around playing games and all sorts of stuff. And this is what we are looking to do and have all this stuff going on. So why do I bring this up? Why am I bringing this up? I think one thing is it's a missed opportunity for many churches. We can say revitalizations, yes, but it's for every church. A lot of churches got away in the last 20 years from having Christian schools, at least in my area. I don't know really much about other areas. I know there are Christian schools in some states, in some cities, where the Christian schools are on par size-wise with high schools. But the one thing that we've had, especially in Massachusetts, is a number of these Christian schools close, much because we went to a testing program called MCAS, and what ended up happening with MCAS is it made it so that the Christian schools had to hire teachers that had a teaching certificate from DC, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And within that, these teachers, you know, there is a required pay for teachers, and unionizing and all the other stuff that really became a headache for a lot of Christian schools. So a number of them closed, a number of them found ways to work, you know, work the system, so to speak, where they could stay as independent as they could. But it really, for a number of churches that were running these ministries closed. In fact, when I think of it, my wife and I both went through Christian education through the eighth grade, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, all but one of the schools that I went through are closed. And I went through four Christian schools in my life, and my wife went through one, and that one closed. So that's the one thing. So there's that, and the fact that we are seeing some of the stuff sneak in there. When it comes to public education, even though some of this stuff is not quote unquote the required education, or I don't know how you want to really word it here, but because a lot of this stuff is not required to be learned, it's not part of the mandatory education, but a lot of the teachers, especially the younger teachers that are just coming out of college and university, or they're really progressive in their ethics, they are making kids read biographies and other books, as well as watch movies within class to discuss, that perpetuate that narrative that we have been seeing rising up over the last 5 years in America about systemic racism and CRT. It's bringing about all sorts of questioning. So then if the kids, you know, one thing that I've heard from a few pastors is they've seen it where these families are leaving the church because the kids are falling for this, and these kids are learning a great apologetic of how to defend this stuff to their families, and their families then decide that, you know what, we're not going to stick around at this church, we're going to go to this more progressive church, and that's what's going on. And so for the families that see it and don't agree with it, they're deciding to pull their kids out, and they're deciding what to do and how to do it and when they should do it. And so we're seeing this change here in Massachusetts. So why am I bringing this up? I know that there's a lot of divide, a lot of polarizing stuff that goes on with this. But here's the thing. Here's the missing link. So, like I said, we've been doing our nights. We have had some families now that are not Christian families coming to the church through the homeschool pod. My home church has done this, and they have, I think it's 25% to 75%. 25% of the families are Christian, 75% of the families are not, and yet all the families in their homeschool pod school are going to the church now. So there's like a huge opportunity here for churches to reach out and grab people that are really seeing the light. Like, you know, theologically, we can debate this, you know, five ways to Sunday, you know, over election and revelation and all this stuff. But here's the big thing. we need to grasp into this now. So I know it's not for everybody. It isn't. It's one of those things where you have to have a facility that can host one of these things, but it doesn't mean that churches can't work together. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you know a church that's a good size that could really house and hold this type of stuff going on, here's the thing. You should work with them and see what you can do, you know. And that's what I've heard with a couple of churches where like three small churches got together with a church that had a good size facility, and now these four churches are running a homeschool pod and actually now looking at what they can do to make this into an actual school. So, you know, that's one of the things. But you think about it, I mean, even I can sit there and say, when I was in Christian school, I knew not all the kids were Christian. I knew kids were going there because their grandmother did not like what was going on in the public schools, and their grandmother was sacrificing to pay for their high school, you know, education, elementary, secondary education. And that is what we need to understand in life, is that's where we're seeing this new opportunity. And I am one of the people that believes that we go through these cycles. I'm a historian and a philosopher as well as a theologian. And so, you know, I've said it many times. In fact, I'm planning an episode where I'm going to talk about where the church is within the Strauss-Howe generational theory, which I think, as I've been doing some of the research over the last weeks, it's been interesting where it's really popped at me. But the main thing is that we are seeing a huge shift. We're seeing a crisis point. We're seeing like all these people arguing, and I hate it. I mean, I'm gonna be truthful here. You know, I used to get into the debates on social media, and I decided to get out of them. And I'm really, really convicted that, you know, there's some groups I may leave over time, just because I don't want to say they're divisive, but I just want to say, you know, if I'm looking at my mental and spiritual health, you know, they bring out the old man in me, if you know what I mean. You know, they're not helpful. They're not edifying. They're not building me up. You know, a lot of groups that I was a part of early on, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, that really were building me up, and I could talk and pray with people and have people say that they were nearby and come by and visit me or go out for coffee and different things. A lot of those groups just have turned into, you know, I can't even find a proper word for it. It's just not healthy. You know, I think if I'm honest, I have a young man. he's 8 years younger than me, but I have a gentleman here at the church who was saying, like, he actually, over the last year and a half, 2 years, even though he still has his Facebook account, he has gotten away from Facebook and following a lot of things on social media because he felt the same way. He felt that it was one of those things where it was causing him to sin, where he was getting angry and all sorts of stuff. And so what I'm getting at in that point is we need to understand that we might stay away from certain subjects. We may stay away from certain talks and certain things going on. But people, we need to understand that, there are times to stay away from points, and there are times to really blow the horn. And I think we're at a time where, you know, with certain things, if we blow the horn, people are going to say, well, the horn's already blown. And that might be true, but at the same time, while that horn might be blown, it's not blown to its fullest. It's not blown to the full extent of what God wants that horn to be blown. And what I mean by that, brothers, is that God is sitting there, and we can sit there and be the person who doesn't do anything. Or we can be like Noah and see what's going on, know what's going on, and prepare and build that ark. And that's where I think we're at, really, right now. When I looked at the timing of the turnings within the generational theory, it's like, man, we're not where I thought we were. If I use the points correctly, and you know, it took me 3 days to really look at it. I was like, wow, where we were. Now I don't wanna say, hey, this is you know, this is giving it away, this is doing this, this. No, my point is this. We've gotten away, I think, from living every day like it was the last day on earth. I think we've gotten away from points where I think we have become too comfortable with the world again. We are too comfortable with our churches. We really love our churches and our people. And we're sitting there, and the one thing I don't hear by people anymore, when I was growing up in the church with my parents, as my dad as a pastor and my grandfather as a pastor, was the whole, come Lord Jesus, come. I don't hear that anymore. I really don't. When was the last time we really heard that? A lot of people shy away from Revelation, and it's really one of those things where if we look at what's going on, we can sit there and we can say, it's the end times. Now, we know people have been saying that for 2,000 years, but it's one of those things where we look at it, and our eyes are opening up, but we're too afraid to say anything because we're afraid that we're going to be made fun of, and you know, we're afraid of our status being destroyed, and there's all these things that we need to put aside, because it's death to self and living for Christ, and Christ would be out there saying the stuff that I'm talking about right now is wrong. The stuff that is being taught is being wrong, and there are too many people afraid to get involved politically, and there's too many people afraid to get involved on a whole, not, you know, whole bunch of levels. So I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I think I know I'm changing. I know I'm really changing. As I'm looking at the stuff, as I'm looking at things, as I'm looking at the churches out there, and the Facebook pages, and I don't know, like, I don't want to become a hermit, but at times I can say that, you know, I know myself, I know that I need to be better, I know I need to place myself on a higher standard, and I've been called out a lot lately on some of the stuff that I've done in the past. And that's the thing. I think I've needed that. But when I look at what's going on with these parents, and I know that they need the help, and I look at the churches, and here's the thing. Here's going to be the thing. I'm going to close with this. Why am I doing this? Why am I saying that we need to get involved with these homeschool pods and stuff? Well, here's the thing. Those 10 families went to several churches in their hometown. Now, I'm in Sutton, their hometown. I'm not afraid to say this, because I'm hoping that pastors from there are listening to this podcast, and that they would listen to it and realize that they were one of the churches that said this. But a number of churches, including churches that I know, churches that I know friends are involved in and different things, said no. We were the only church that said yes. And I think that's a crying shame because, you know, here I am now. I work as a substitute teacher, so I know a lot of the stuff that I said is true. I know that for a fact. A lot of the stuff that I've said about what the education system is doing is true. And believe me, if I were to really blow the lid off of it, I would want to make sure that I was working full-time for this church, or I had a position that, you know, in a place. I've got health issues that keep me from doing some of the work that I've done in the past. But if I were to really blow the lid off of what I know, you know, like I realize I'm a light in the darkness right now. I really am. And, you know, for those of you who remember, who have listened for a long time, Eric Malloy, my old co-host, he's a light in the dark. He'd be able to tell you the truth on this. But here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and when churches are not aware and they don't know why these parents are doing this stuff and they think it's foolishness and we're not going to get involved like that and all sorts of stuff, well, you're really not be in the hands and feet of Christ. And that's the issue. Like I said, these 10 families, they went to several churches within their community, Millbury, which is right next to Sutton here, several churches, and those churches said no. And they looked around, and luckily one of the parents there was a parent that had to go to homeschool for a while with their child, and they were members of our church. And so they came to us, and pretty much without hesitation, we said, sure. And so now we are a few months into this, and it is growing, and I'm glad. And, you know, I'm praying that God really uses this. And, you know, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer here. I'm not trying to be anything like that. What I'm trying to be here is I'm trying to be a person that is trying to show you what it is to be that light, to be that person. You know, the opportunities you have are endless. The ways you can do this. And I know I'm not giving you any answers on revitalization here. But I'm saying this is an opportunity to look at and pray. We always talk in revitalizations about ministries and what can we do, what can be our ministry. You know, I believe it's Mark Clifton who said, it was either Mark Clifton or Tom Rainer. I know they always get, you know, called for all the quotes. But one of them was the one that said, if your church were to close today, would they feel it tomorrow? Would your community feel it tomorrow? And that's what we want to be. We want to be that. And, you know, we've got more than just our homeschooling. We got other things that we do for the community. But that's the thing. That's the thing we have to ask ourselves. So that's it. So I've got to write a better outro because I don't have an outro. I really don't. I know we had one for a while, and you know, it just doesn't work. So, you know, here's the thing: plant seeds. Plant seeds. Be the sower. Throw the seed around. Throw the gospel around recklessly, not caring with any notion where it's going. Throw it with all abandon. We'll see you next week. God bless.